Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with As It Is, a program that helps you learn and improve your American English. At the same time, you will learn interesting things about what is happening in our world. We begin today's program with a look at relations between China and Vietnam. Disputes over the South China Sea have caused tension between the two countries. Then, some news from the Science Department. That simple weed that seems to grow just about everywhere, the dandelion, may soon lend a helping hand as manufacturers search for a substitute for rubber. It's an interesting story that is only minutes away. So let's get started. Here is part one. Last month, Vietnam sent a Communist Party official to China in an effort to reduce tensions between the two countries. Relations worsened 3 months ago when China deployed an oil rig to the South China Sea. The equipment was set up near Vietnam's coast in waters claimed by Vietnam. The move led to deadly riots in Vietnam and hurt relations between the countries. Christopher Cruz has more.
When the Vietnamese official traveled to Beijing last week, experts said it might be a sign that the two countries want to improve relations. Lei Hong Ang spent 2 days in China and met with Chinese President Xi Jinping. He reportedly told the president that a neighbor cannot be moved away, and it is in the common interests of both sides to be friendly to each other. Vietnam's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the two countries will continue to move toward what it called stable development. A Foreign Affairs Ministry official spoke to reporters in Hanoi. He said the two countries will continue to improve cooperation in diplomacy, defense, security, and other areas. They include the economy, trade, law implementation, and humanitarian issues. The deployment of the Chinese oil rig in May worsened years-long disputes over control of islands in the South China Sea. The move incited anti-China protests across Vietnam. This led to deadly riots in several industrial zones. China withdrew the oil rig on July 15th, just before a powerful storm moved through the area. Carl Thayer is a professor at the University of New South Wales in Australia. He says the visit by Lei Hong Ang to China is the first step in negotiations about the South China Sea islands.
Ang's visit has opened up channels, and I think we're seeing other lower-level people explore what's possible. You know, China accepted the apology. I think you see the wind. Both sides are trying to overcome this, but without conceding too much.
Vietnam is exploring other ways to deal with China. Several high-level officials from the United States have recently visited Vietnam. They include General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. These visits caused some experts to say Vietnam may be seeking closer ties with the United States as protection against China. Jonathan London is a Vietnam expert. He teaches at City University in Hong Kong. He says that if the weapons ban is lifted, it would, in his words, symbolize a real change in the two countries' relations.
Vietnam stands to gain considerably from U.S. intelligence and U.S. expertise and know-how with respect to maritime affairs.
Carl Thayer says Vietnam is seeking to improve its relations with the United States and other countries as a way of, in his words, bargaining against China.
China keeps warning them about moving too close to the U.S., but that doesn't stop them from working towards Japan, which they've already done, and India, if India is willing to play the game.
Jonathan London says he does not believe anyone in Vietnam thinks relations with China are as good as they could be. And he says he cannot be sure that relations are improving. He says the two countries negotiate in secret, so it is not possible to know how the two countries really feel about each other. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to VOA, and we are coming to you from Washington. People have been using products made with synthetic rubber for more than a century. But high-quality tires for cars, trucks, and aircraft still must contain 40% or more natural rubber. Rubber trees are not very strong. They often have problems in bad weather and suffer from disease. Naturally, then, scientists are looking for rubber substitutes. As we hear from Ann Ball, they may have found one in a plant nearly everyone dislikes, the dandelion.
Rubber trees grow mainly on plantations in Southeast Asia. These trees are most productive only under the best atmospheric conditions. They need even amounts of rainfall and bright sunshine and no strong winds. Rubber trees can be infected with a plant disease. The disease has ruined many rubber plantations in South America, where the trees first grew. Dandelion plants are much stronger. Anyone who has dandelions on their property knows how hard it is to remove them. These flowering weeds spread easily. They grow in poor soil and do not suffer too much in a changing climate. But qualities that make people dislike dandelions also make them a possible source of synthetic rubber. Scientists have known for a long time that the dandelion's milky fluid contains latex, the main substance in raw rubber. The richest source of latex is a plant native to Kazakhstan. Researchers from Germany are working to engineer the dandelion's genetic material. The researchers are with the Fraunhofer Institute for Molecular Biology and Applied Ecology. Dirk Profer of the Institute says the goal is to produce large amounts of latex that can be used in the industry. He said one of the most difficult parts of dandelion research was to produce plants that will be economical.
And that is why we are working since years on the breeding program to develop new traits in the plants, stabilized traits, for example, a stable rubber content.
The genetically engineered dandelion is already producing half a ton of rubber per hectare. But Dirk Profer says the scientist's goal is about two times as much. Mr. Profer says a leading tire manufacturer, Continental AG, already is testing tires made with dandelion-based rubber.
They made a lot of testing tissues to see the quality of the material, And what you can see is that the quality is similar to that what they have originally done with the rubber from the rubber tree.
Researchers believe rubber-producing yellow blooms may someday cover large fields that are currently not being used because of poor soil. I'm Ann Ball.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Learning English is a part of the Voice of America.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Methane gas from a lake in Rwanda may soon become a major supply of electricity. Millions of people in that Central African country could use the energy. An American company and the Rwandan government signed the power agreement in early August at the U.S.-Africa summit in Washington. The company is Symbion Power. The deal will provide electricity and lower the risk of an environmental disaster at Lake Kivu. There are three lakes in Africa that contain such high levels of carbon dioxide and methane gas that they are at risk of exploding. Two of them, Lake Nyos and Lake Manun, are in Cameroon. They exploded in the 1980s. Carbon dioxide released in the Lake Nyos explosion killed more than 1,700 people. Some victims were as far as 26 kilometers away. Lake Kivu in Rwanda could have an even worse gas explosion. That is because more than 2 million people live near the shores of Lake Kivu, including in the large towns of Goma and Gisenyi. Paul Hinks is the chief of Symbion Power. Last month, the company agreed to build a power station at Lake Kivu. Mr. Hinks says it is important that the methane be removed from the lake before a disaster happens.
The buildup of methane in Lake Kivu is a serious problem for Rwanda. So what the plans have been for Lake Kivu is to turn methane gas into power.
Scientists agree that the methane level must be lowered in Lake Kivu. But there are worries that the act of pumping out the gas could cause problems.
The problem is, of course, you just put in a pipe and you start sucking out the water and separating the methane and the CO2 from the water. There is a potential to create the very problem which you're trying to avoid, which is escape of the methane gases into the atmosphere.
Symbion Power agrees that this is a risk. Mr. Hinks says his company will work to remove the gas safely.
There are sets of rules, if you like. They're called lake management prescriptions, and they cover all the issues that companies like us have to follow when they are extracting methane gas from the lake.
Kibuye Power Company already operates a small power center that uses the lake's methane. Laurent Sibomana supervises the center in the town of Gisenyi. He told VOA it is not easy to remove methane gas from the lake. Mr. Hinks says Symbion Power has experience working in difficult places, including Iraq and Afghanistan. He says it has the knowledge and money to succeed at Lake Kivu. And that's the VOA Learning English Economics Report.
I'm Mario Ritter.
The following is a repeat presentation of the Learning English show, American Mosaic. The program was first broadcast in June.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. Today on the show, we hear new music from Coldplay. And Washington, D.C. now has a Ferris wheel. We will tell you all about it. But first, a report on a young Chinese immigrant who is expert in a very old art from her homeland. The Chinese art of paper cutting has a long history. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization has recognized the art, called Jianzhi, on its intangible cultural heritage list. But Jianzhi is at risk of disappearing. Katie Weaver tells us about a Chinese immigrant to the United States who hopes to bring the art back to life.
Voyo Wu loves paper cutting.
It's called a dragon boat racing.
And she works hard to celebrate the ancient art form.
The earliest paper cutting was found in China 1,500 years ago.
On a recent Saturday, Ms. Wu held a paper cutting show at a shopping center near Washington. She demonstrated the art for hours to crowds at the center.
I really like it. I get so much fun and peace doing it. So I'm just hoping that more people will learn about this art that's kind of dying and enjoy it like I do.
Voyo Wu began to study the art of Jianzhi as a 14-year-old in her hometown in southeastern China. She says all the students at school had to learn the art, but she says she discovered a special love for it. So her teacher gave her extra training after class.
It was actually a mandatory art class for everybody, but I just found a special passion for it. So my teacher, she was willing to give me extra tutoring after class to train me in paper cutting.
Later, she won second prize in a national painting and calligraphy competition.
Paper is the easiest material that you can find. You can just turn it into a beautiful, intricate art. I think it's like magic to me.
Ms. Wu came to the U.S. after she finished college in 2008. Soon after, she became involved in an event to support and expand understanding of Chinese paper cutting. She has been invited to demonstrate the art at a wide collection of events. She also has shown her skill at famed museums like the Smithsonian Institution's Freer and Sackler Art Galleries in Washington.
I saw so many people coming to me and asking me. They were amazed. I think that it's important to promote the art form to American people or anyone who's interested. And then maybe it will lead to another thriving of this art form back in China.
Ms. Wu says paper cutting represents Chinese cultural values, history, and stories of people's lives. She uses the art as a tool to present Chinese culture to people who know little about it.
People, when they see it, they ask, what's the story behind this? And that's when the opportunity knocks, when you can actually explain to them, for example, what is the Chinese Lantern Festival?
Ms. Wu placed examples of her art around her as she demonstrated paper cutting at the shopping center. Some shoppers, like Anne Russ, took part in a workshop. Ms. Russ was struck by the finely detailed nature of the work. She said it put her at ease.
I would like to know about Chinese art specifically. It's very delicate, and I like the focus that it requires. It just takes me out of everything when you have to concentrate on something very closely. It's almost relaxing to put that much effort into it.
Voyo Wu says Chinese art is for all people.
It's amazing how Chinese art can resonate, can echo with people from other cultural backgrounds.
I'm Katie Weaver.
Ferris wheels are very tall, rounded structures that move in circular motion from top to bottom. They are commonly found at carnivals and amusement parks. People ride them for fun, although they don't go really fast like a roller coaster. Ferris wheels also provide riders with a great look at their surroundings. A new Ferris wheel, known as the Capitol Wheel, is doing just that in the Washington area. The structure stands 55 meters above the Potomac River. It is one of the few observation Ferris wheels in the world that is right on the water. LaShonda Johnson lives in the area. She says she got a new look at the city she knows well.
So the Capitol and all the historical museums and traffic, it was just peaceful.
The National Harbor is home to the Ferris wheel. The harbor is just outside Washington in Oxon Hill, Maryland. It is a new public center with shops, restaurants, and hotels, and now a Ferris wheel. The wheel has 42 cars, or gondolas, with heating and cooling systems. It can hold 336 riders. Kent Digby is operations director for the National Harbor. He says the Ferris wheel is very different from an amusement park ride. The idea is for people to enjoy some calming moments.
Well, it's very smooth, so you really, if you weren't paying too much attention, you wouldn't really notice that you're moving. And that's all part of trying to make people comfortable and make sure that they understand that they're very safe.
The cost is $15 per person for a 15-minute ride. Mark Poliquin, who came from the state of Connecticut with his family, says the ride was worth it.
Top of the line, air-conditioned cabs, they got music playing.
The $15 million machine was built in the United States. Some of the parts are from Germany, and the gondolas came from Switzerland. It is similar to the London Eye Ferris wheel in Britain's capital. The London Eye was the world's tallest Ferris wheel until 2006. Now, that honor belongs to the high roller Ferris wheel that recently opened in Las Vegas, Nevada. It stands 167 meters in the air. The next tallest is the Singapore Flyer in Singapore, followed by the Star of Nanchang in China. Bulgarian Yavor Todorov says his children wanted to go on a ride, but he admits he had a good time as well.
It's exciting. You can see the whole Washington, D.C.
Each gondola seats 8 people, except for one special VIP car, which holds 4. There, for $50 per person, you can bring a bottle of wine.
I call it our little Ferrari. It's all red and black leather, and it's pretty slick with wine coolers and its own pop-up TV. And I'm sure more than one person will get engaged on a ride.
Kent Digby says the light show on the Ferris wheel is another treat. He says the lights can be made to go on and off in thousands of different orders.
1,600,000 lights, and they can light up in any different color of the rainbow.
The Capitol Wheel is open every day. Up to 800,000 people are expected to take the ride the first year. Recently, we got a letter from China. 26-year-old Judge Young asked if we could talk about and play some music from Coldplay on American Mosaic. Anna Mateo is here to meet that request.
The British band Coldplay hit the airwaves around the turn of the millennium. Their first album, Parachutes, was released in 2000. The group had a major hit with the song Yellow.
Look at the stars, look how they shine for you. Everything you do, yeah, they were all yellow.
Singer Chris Martin leads Coldplay. Johnny Buckland is lead guitarist. Guy Berryman plays bass. And Will Champion is the band's drummer. Chris Martin recently said that Coldplay is successful because its members work well together. He said he does not know where the song ideas come from. But he says once they do come, the band builds on the ideas together, layer by layer. Martin likened it to building a car. He also said the fact that the band always shared all the money and all the credit has helped avoid disputes. Coldplay released its sixth studio album, Ghost Stories, last month. Critic Karen Gantz of Rolling Stone magazine suggested the ghost of the album is Chris Martin's wife, actress Gwyneth Paltrow. In March, the two announced that they were ending their marriage. The first song is called Always in My Head.
But though I try, my heart stays still, never moves, just won't be led. And so
critic Josh Terry of Consequence of Sound is not as excited by Ghost Stories, but he does praise a few songs, including Another's Arms.
Late night watching TV, used to be here beside me, used to be your arms around me, your body on my body. When the world means nothing to
Coldplay is currently touring around the world. They performed in Paris at the end of May. In the next few weeks, they will appear in Tokyo, Sydney, and London. We leave you with A Sky Full of Stars from the new Coldplay album, Ghost Stories.
'Cause you're a sky, 'cause you're a sky full of stars. I'm gonna give you my heart. 'Cause you're a sky, 'cause you're a sky full of stars. 'Cause you light up the path.
I'm June Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.